says there at the beginning of the gospel that Jesus was teaching his disciples. I know some of you might be teachers, maybe have taught for a few years, maybe many years. Some of you apparently as parents definitely are teachers in your own right, teaching your children many different things. I can remember as a student many different times becoming distracted from time to time, whether it was maybe a boring class, maybe there was something going on outside, maybe I was thinking about recess or thinking about sports or thinking about what I was going to do after school was over. Maybe many different distractions, particular things that are also running through my mind that I personally want to give time to. Also trying to pay attention to the teacher and the good things that are being taught there. Sometimes we miss particular things. Sometimes we miss key things. I failed algebra in the eighth grade, so I thought it was the worst thing in the world. But I can tell you, taking it again in the ninth grade, maybe I picked up some of the things I missed the first time around, and I actually made a really good grade in the class, and I understood it. And I think that was the most important thing to me, was that I understood it. I had become afraid of it because I had failed. But because I had tried again, I picked up the pieces that I had missed or I didn't understand, and I understood them. And it gave a lot of confidence to me as I moved forward. Jesus is trying to explain something to his disciples. They have a different idea of what it means to become the Messiah. We heard them, of course, last week. Jesus told them that he was going to be the Messiah, and he was going to have to die and suffer. And Peter tries to change his mind, right? Jesus has to say to him, "Get behind me, Satan," to rebuke him. Again, today, Jesus, another time, begins to tell them that he must be crucified, that he must die and rise again as the Messiah. And what do the disciples do? They're thinking about who is the greatest, right? Who is the best amongst them? Not necessarily listening or even paying attention to what Jesus is saying. But it's interesting to kind of watch how things unfold. Maybe we would say not really even until Pentecost and the Holy Spirit came upon them. After Jesus had already died and risen from the dead, did they begin to fully understand and comprehend what had happened and what Jesus was talking about? So there is hope for us, right? We are continuing to learn. Many times, of course, we've heard these readings, these particular stories. And in our own right, in our own place, Jesus is continuing to teach us what it means that he is the Messiah, what it means to follow him, to be his disciple, what it means to encounter him. Jesus says it's not about knowing all the answers to everything, but it's about accepting those who are outcast, right? Many people didn't pay attention to the children at Jesus' time, nor to the poor, nor to the widows, nor to the lepers and the sick, nor to the blind and the lame. But these are exactly the people whom Jesus went to, right? Jesus says to them, "If to be my follower, to truly come to know me, and not just me, but the one who sent me, is to receive a child as this, to receive those who are outcast, those who are forgotten." And so I'd just like to maybe change a little bit and to speak a little bit about reverence. So when we come to Mass, what does it mean to be reverent? And I think reverence may be in a couple different things. Number one is, it's something that we are taught. Many times we are taught to respect and to be reverent to others by our parents. It's funny, the things that I first remember the most about Mass was how to behave in Mass. Either getting pinched by my father, taken outside and whipped a couple times, especially when I tried to turn around and see who was behind me, being corrected to face forward. Some of those particular things. Coming in, I can remember my father teaching me how to genuflect, then sit in the pew, what it meant to walk up and to receive communion. My second grade teacher teaching us how to receive communion. And what it means to be reverent is first taught. But a second thing is it also comes in time, right? The more that we come to know who God is, and the more that we come to encounter him, and the more we come to believe in him, the more that we come to know and let the distractions go, the more we recognize why and the importance of why we are reverent and whom we are encountering when we come to Mass. So I hope and I pray that as you come to Mass, that your recognition as you come in, coming into the church, desiring to calm your hearts and your minds, of being quiet, coming in, genuflecting at the end of your pew, so genuflecting towards the tabernacle, giving reverence to Jesus who is present here, whom we are ready to encounter, silencing our hearts and preparing as you kneel in the pew praying and preparing yourself for Mass, a sense of reverence as we stand to the gospel, recognizing that these are God's words, not just any other words that we hear, but these are the words of our Savior Jesus Christ, the reverence of standing, listening, and paying attention. There's also definitely in the Eucharist, realization that the true presence of God is present here, and kneeling during the Eucharistic prayer as a simple bread and wine are transformed in the body and blood of Christ. The reverence as we come up to communion, right before you approach the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, doing a simple bow. Also, either receiving the Lord on your tongue or receiving him in your hands and then putting him into your mouth. Receiving the Lord in a reverent way, recognizing whom you are encountering. And so definitely always in the need of reminding ourselves whom we are encountering when we come to church. The reverence of going back into your pew after the Mass and taking a few minutes just to reflect on whom and what I have just received. Staying until the end of Mass, giving thanks to God, maybe silently praying a little bit before you leave. And again, thanksgiving and reverence of God who loves us, who's desiring to give his life for us. Now, sometimes reverence might be hard because maybe we don't fully know Jesus, don't fully know what he has done for us. Maybe you still are learning and are growing and encountering. I don't need you to judge others. Okay, so that's the last thing. Sometimes we have a tendency to look to see who's being reverent, who's not, who's talking, who's not talking, who's bowing, who didn't bow, bowed too much, bowed not enough. Don't worry about others. Don't worry about how reverent they are or not, because the thing is, they might be in a different place than you are. But if you truly have encountered Christ and have come to know him, then being that example and being that sense of that place of reverence. And if you're not there, then hopefully you are inspired by them and not necessarily judging them. Or not necessarily finding shame, because that's also a thing that we as humans also do too, a shamefulness. Well, I don't know the Lord. Just as the disciples, there was a sense of shame. Jesus says, what were you talking about? Nobody said anything, because they knew they weren't listening. They knew they weren't talking about something they shouldn't have been talking about. But Jesus doesn't condemn them. He teaches them, right? He always takes us at a moment to teach them. He always takes us at a moment to recenter them and to refocus them. He always takes us an opportunity to reveal himself more to them. That's why I think it's so amazing that in the midst of our sins and mistakes that we turn away from Jesus, it is mentioning those in confession that Jesus takes the opportunity to again to reveal his mercy and love to us when we mention to him our mistakes and our faults, the times that we have been distracted. So I hope and I pray, maybe take some time this week, a little bit of homework. Lord, where am I at with you? Lord, do I believe that you are the Messiah? Do I truly believe that you are present in the words in the gospel and the Bible? Do I truly believe that you are present in the Eucharist that I receive? Do I show that in my life when I come to Mass? And even more importantly, do I show it to the people that are sitting next to me? Do you realize that Jesus is next to you and the person next to you? Do you take the time to also recognize that and to see that? Maybe sometimes I even think that's the hardest part. Sometimes it's easy to recognize Jesus in the priest, easy maybe recognize Jesus in the Eucharist, in the Word. Sometimes the hardest, I think, is recognizing Jesus in our brothers and our sisters, and those who are present to us. So how can you be open? Where is Jesus? And don't use it as a sense to judge yourself, but to see, where am I? Lord, I want to know you more. I desire to be reverent to you, to notice the great things that you have done for me. So for us as a parish, I hope and I pray that each and every one of you come to continue to grow in the knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in that wisdom. Just as we heard in that second reading, that you recognize your passions. Sometimes it is our passions that lead us into sinfulness, that lead us down the wrong path. But also in our heart, we also find peace and forgiveness and mercy. Look for those things. Allow those things to grow and to bear fruit in your life, especially in your heart. And once they do, teach others. Share others what you have learned. Hey, don't just come to church because you should. Come because God is present. Let me show you how I reverence him, how I honor him, and how he gives me peace and light and reveals his Father to me.